Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Please be advised that 6 Degrees of Reality TV contains explicit language. Hi, and welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV, the podcast where two MFAs try to figure out what the hell is happening on our screens. My name is Amy, and I hold an MFA in creative nonfiction.
And my name is Leslie, and I hold an MFA in creative writing fiction. And together, we are trying to uncover what it means to fall in love on reality TV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV. This is Amy, and I'm your co-host.
And I'm Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I'm frozen today.
I know. Guys. It was -9 here this morning.
Jesus Christ.
But at least I had heat.
I don't. So I'm logged in as Frozen Leslie. I'm a popsicle. At some point in the middle of the night, the heat just went off. And then my poor little dog was shivering. And he, okay, you know that Joey's cold when he agrees to wear doggy pajamas. Because he hates clothes.
He's the cutest dog in the world.
He's wearing bananas. Like little banana pajamas, and he's under my heated blanket. I just put it on him because he was shivering.
Here's a throwback. Do you remember bananas in pajamas?
Do you remember that? Because my sister was that age when I'm a lot older than my sister, so yes, I remember it.
I used to babysit, so I have like this weird knowledge of all things millennials, but also, of course, the best generation ever, Gen X.
Gen X. I know, I've always wanted to be a Gen Xer. I feel like I was born at the wrong time.
I feel like you're close, right?
Yeah, I'm like a Zennial towards the end.
What year?
85, yeah.
So I'm like, wow, I am a lot older than you.
Oh, my birthday's coming up in like 2 weeks, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm getting old.
Oh, that's exciting. Are you an Aquarius?
I am an Aquarius.
So's my husband.
Nice. Oh, take a shot, guys.
Takes a lot of pride in that.
Who I could confirm is real because I heard his voice off camera.
Yes, he's real.
He's real.
So my grandmother was like a very amateur astrologer. She got into it like after my grandfather died, and she just, you know, went crazy studying it.
Yeah.
And she used to tell me Aquarius is the screwball of the zodiac.
Yeah, basically.
So there you go. I'm a Libra.
Libra, yeah. You're more like practical, but then also, isn't that the thing that you're a little undecisive? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story of my life. I mean, we built our house 6 years ago. I already want to rip down and remodel the whole thing because I made decisions.
Nope.
All I will say is, getting back to our favorite Beantown couples here, I'm telling you right now, the internet is blowing up with people hating Alyssa. Like, it is, they're coming for April Ludgate. I mean, they are just coming for her. And I have a lot to say about it when we get there.
I mean, even her pastor.
Guys, when your pastor is dragging you, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're looking at season 14, episode 3, Beantown Wedding Throwdown. Pastor Cal tells us, tonight, our final two couples take that brave leap of faith. Nothing is brief on this show.
Nothing.
So, no.
It's like 3 hours long.
Guys, I was telling Leslie, I was looking up, we still have, this is episode 3. Okay, the wedding's finished. Next episode is the couples waking up and then meeting with each other's in-laws, which is stupid. And then episode 5, they're on their honeymoons. So I was looking back like on earlier seasons, and they're usually at the honeymoon by like episode 3. So they have definitely, we're going to be 5 episodes in. Not only that, the episodes used to be an hour.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah. So I don't know how long they are. I'm assuming they're 2 hours each on
network
television.
I think it's a 2 hour time slot because when I get, because I get it from like Amazon, it's like 1 hour and 24 minutes or something like that. It runs like that.
Yeah. So you figure there's what, over half hour commercials. Oh God. Like, we love you guys, but come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Pastor Cal, if you're listening, get real.
I don't think he edits the show, but, you know, hats off to the editors on this episode and this particular scene that I'm going to cover.
All right, so we're going to start with my favorite couple, the couple who must be protected at all costs, Stephen and Noi. I love them so much.
I think he's so cute. Oh, I hope it works out. I'm going to eat these words, I know.
So we start with some drone footage of Steven on his road trip again. Like, he really, really was out with that drone. Mm. I mean, shooting Calvin Klein looking commercials. That's a throwback. Does Calvin Klein even make perfume anymore? Or cologne? Probably.
So. I just know Mark Wahlberg and undies.
Okay, come back to us, Leslie. Come back.
I'm so sorry. I totally like spaced out. Oh, the 90s. So, I was a child.
So Steven reminds us he's a risk taker, in case we didn't know this. And Noi reminds us she's a hopeless romantic. So she's walking down the aisle. When he sees her, there's a huge smile on his face, and he has a great smile.
Yeah.
He really does. So we get a sneak peek of my boy, Dungeons and Dragons, off to the side there, D&D. And we are introduced to a new character, who is Noi's brother, who is a drag queen named Sriracha.
I almost died. Can I be their friend? Please.
I love this person so much. This person has multicolored hair. So we're not talking D&D with the frayed orange ends.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking some pink, some yellow, maybe a little red in there. I love Sriracha more than life itself.
It's probably to blend in with different wigs, because I know drag queens do that from watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Now, I am not sure because I did not watch the after party with Rudy Huxtable.
I did not
watch
that.
I'm not sure how Sriracha identifies. They did have him captioned as brother.
Brother, yeah.
But I will do my best to just say Sriracha. Going forward.
Because here's, interestingly enough, I don't watch the Kardashians, but I did watch a clip of their new season, and they were mentioning something about Caitlyn, and they said, well, we don't want to invite her, and then one of the Jenners was like, but that's my dad, even though identifies as dad, yeah, but
right.
Her, she, you know, so it's a little confusing, so.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure what they prefer.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just trying to be respectful.
Yeah. So, I cannot tell you how happy I am that Sriracha has come into my life. All right, they meet one another. They have a good laugh that Steve's last name is Moy, so she'll be Noi Moy.
I love it.
It's perfect. Her family wants you to know. Now, guys, I'm just going to warn you, I don't take notes as well as Leslie does, so I'm just breezing through these vows. Her family wants you to know she has an alter ego, Noisy, who's crazy and wears wigs. And that's why Sriracha's name came up, because she said she gets a lot of her wigs and stuff from Sriracha.
Mm-hmm.
She's very into her culture, very close to her family, and her upbringing is unique. And they ask Steve to remain open-minded and considerate. And again, we learn she's a hopeless romantic. We get it.
No.
All right. Steve is part of a big family who spends a lot of time together. He loves kids, loves to take trips, be ready for adventure. And I don't know if this was in the vows, but I've written, Steve is a really handsome man.
I don't think that he said that about himself or his friends.
I don't think so either. So Noi vows that without knowing you, we are the same, brave and trusting. And I could hardly wait for our life together. And then I literally wrote, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, okay. Blah, blah.
Steve says, dear Svedlanta, Patinka, whatever your name is, It's so nice to meet you. I've been waiting a lifetime. You are audacious enough to marry a stranger. So we have that in common. He has good vocabulary too. That's a turn on for me.
I know. He could read and
yep. I have high hopes. Cannot wait to see where this goes. They exchange rings and Steve says he brought a spare in case she didn't like it. But I guess it's a ring pop.
It is a ring pop. I loved it. I wanted it. I still eat those.
They share a nice kiss. Mm-hmm. And he asks her ahead of time, like, is it okay if I kiss you? I'm like, mm. Okay. Now they sneak away and have a drink. Now I'm torn between calling him Steve or Steven. I prefer Steven, mm-hmm. but they do call him Steve a lot. So I don't know. So he tells the camera he thinks Noi is stunning and he's very attracted to her. And Noi tells Steve, and I could see this about him. She tells us, I'm sorry, that she is very calmed by him.
Yeah.
Like he's a very calming presence. And my best friend and I were talking off mic about this yesterday. And she was saying that he has just this level of confidence.
Yeah.
That you feel calm and secure in his presence. And I picked that up.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed very secure in who he is. Like the whole fact that he was unemployed for 4 months doesn't bother him at all because he used it to travel. I don't know if you heard. But he used that to travel.
Did he use drone footage on that trip?
Yes, he did.
It is my opinion that people who do things like that and take chances are often the most confident people because yeah. they're confident that they can survive risks and stuff like that. Then I wrote, Noi tells the camera he's very sweet and the second ring was a ring pop. And I wrote, oh, I missed that because I was so wrapped up in Sriracha. At the reception, Noi meets Steve's parents. It's really cute. She, like, goes up to them. Are you mom? Are you dad? Like, I just adore her. I adore her.
Yeah.
They do family pictures. And did you get, like, Steven is, like, a foot taller than her whole family?
He is super tall.
He looks like a giant. Like, do you ever see the movie Big Fish?
Yes. I haven't seen it in a long time.
The giant dude from mm-hmm. the circus. Like, mm-hmm. that's who it reminds me of. And I feel seen because my family, like, my dad is only, like, 5'7 or 5'8. Like, we're all little tiny people. So you put a 6-foot person around us, you know.
Yeah, the men tower. In my family are giants. They're, like, over 6'3". And it's like, why really? Are you so tall?
Wow. Okay. So now they change into traditional Laotian clothing. And that's really cute. She places, like, something around Steve's neck. And Steve tells the camera in 50 years, he's hoping to tell their grandchildren that their parents took a risk and brought two great families together. And I was getting emotional.
Yeah.
I cannot watch a wedding and not cry. So I was like, Now Steve and Noi are dancing at their reception, talking about kids, kissing. I love them so much. They sit down, they start chatting, and Noi asks about his job. Here we go. Da-da-da. He tells her the story, and she actually seems really supportive and thinks it's really cool. And I have a comment about this. I feel like this is a Gen X and Boomer thing. Like, Gen X and Boomers would be like, oh, you don't have a job? Da, da, da. Millennials, they don't give a fuck about that shit. Am I right? Am I speaking for you? Like, you guys just roll with it.
We roll with it, and also, we were, like, brought up by our parents who overprotected us. I feel like a lot of us could say that. And mm-hmm. there's like, you know, if that doesn't make you happy, then you don't have to do it. It's kind of that yes. mentality.
Yes.
So that's why we quit a lot of things.
Yeah, but you also, like, maybe it's you have that comfort of knowing you can take risks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with generational wealth. So, like, the Gen Xers and the Boomers in general had more money than their parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, with the Millennials, like, I feel like their parents kind of have enough money that they could support them through changes. Not all people.
Yes.
But some people.
Yeah, some people can, definitely. Because I remember, even though that I did grow up poor and we were, like, on, you know, like, food stamps and stuff when I yep. was a child, as a teenager, as soon as I was old enough to work, my mom didn't want me to work because she was like, mm-hmm. you're going to give up on school if you start falling in love with a dollar. That was her whole thing. So when I turned 18, I finally got my first job, and it was like, okay, but this is just for you to spend on your hair and nails, you know?
Yeah.
You yep. can't live off this. Remember, school first.
And maybe that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's not that your parents had more money, But they more had a philosophy that they would share it with you.
Yeah.
To make your life easier. Where, mm-hmm. like, the boomers did not grow up like that. Like, their parents were not going to support their hair and nail.
No.
doing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think it's just, I don't know. Like, I just think the millennials and the Gen Zers, like, they have cracked the code of life, I feel like. Like, they're just better at it.
You know what was funny? So this is totally off topic, but it's popping up on my feet constantly because the When We Were Young tour is coming out. So this is like a punk rock festival happening in Vegas in October. And it's all these bands, Senses Fail, you know, Avril Lavigne is going to be there. Like all these bands that basically Sinister Girls, my other podcast, kind of was evolved around. And I'm just like, oh my God, am I so old that this tour is called When We Were Young?
Yeah.
And everything. And I'm just thinking like, wow, how time has changed. Because now I want to go to this, but I'm like, I feel like I did this. That was called Warped Tour not that long ago. Why would I do this in my 30s?
Everything anyway. Like nostalgia is just so in right now. I mean, I do a whole Gen X podcast.
Exactly.
It's very in right now.
There was a point to this and it correlated to Married at First Sight. I don't know how. The point is we're old.
The point is that the boomers and the Gen Xers and the more traditionalists all thought, including the producers, all thought that Noi was going to have a huge problem with this.
Yes.
But of course she didn't. Because she didn't. First of all, look what she's overcome in her life. Like her parents literally fled a war-torn country.
Refugees. Yeah.
Right. And came here and built a life from nothing. She's like, 4 months off a job? Okay. I'm okay with that. Do you know
now
what I mean?
My thought came back. So this is what I was going to point. I was listening to Jimmy Eat World. They're also headlining on this tour. Yeah. And the song In the Middle is this huge song that they had. And it's like, it just takes some time in the middle. And it's like, everything's going to be all right, all right. And I made the joke, you know, on social media, kind of like, is Jimmy Eat World responsible for why millennials are overly confident when things are not going to be all right? But they're like, even if you're mediocre, you'll be all right. Thanks, Jimmy Eat World. So that was kind of the tie-in.
And you guys just did not graduate into a world where you could work at the same job for 30 years and put your kids through college with that income. Mm-mm. Like, you just didn't have that. So job hopping and... You see it in Gen Z now with the, everybody has a side hustle. Yeah. The gig economy, right? That's Gen Z doing that. And so you just make it work and it's not a big deal. And Noi's like, I'm pretty confident the dude will get a job again.
Exactly.
Like, let's calm down. It's not like he's D&D sitting in the parents' basement. Love you, D&D.
And also, if he was able to travel for 4 months, that means he had some sort of savings.
Yep, exactly.
So he's responsible.
So now we see Sriracha. And he's like, what's going on tonight, guys? Are you banging? Are you banging my sister? Like, I think you should. And Steve's like, no, dude. No. Sriracha's real name, guys, is Michael. But Sriracha tells Steven, look, I'm going to tell you right now, people chase Noi. Noi is not the chaser. So if you don't chase her, someone else will. Well done, Sriracha.
Yeah.
Well done. So then at the end of every reception, which we will see the end of everyone's reception tonight, they all get into different types of vehicles. Steven and Noi get into a horse-drawn carriage. They get back to the hotel. They get in bed and they, quote, cuddle. And that's all we see from them. So now we're moving on to... Katina and Olajuwon.
Oh, boy.
Are they your favorites of your couples? Are they your favorites?
You know, I really like the drama that's going to come from this, from the previews of later this season. I'm loving this.
You are married.
you are married. And she's kind of like, deer in headlights.
She's like, what?
Like, I'm too pretty. I don't compute. What are you saying? Mm-mm. Anyways. Mm-mm. So Katina and Olajuwon. So when we catch up with Katina and Olajuwon, they're getting ready to take wedding pictures. And Katina says he looks like he was about to cry. And she thought, aw, I hope he doesn't think I'm cold, because she wasn't, you know, getting emotional or teary-eyed. Right. And I thought, you know why? Because she's hot and she has hot girl confidence. So she doesn't need to cry.
She has hot girl confidence. We talked about this.
She doesn't need to cry. Yeah. So Olajuwon has fake confidence and he needs constant validation, as we saw.
Wow, it's real bad.
It's real bad. So he assures her he's sensitive, but not a punk, and was a whole different person, Isaac. Because Isaac.
Oh, God, showing up. Wait until you're in this like 3 weeks before you introduce Isaac. What are you doing?
Oh, boy.
At the reception. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that he will be honest with her and tell her all about his player ways. Yeah, I want to hear that on my wedding day.
No.
Oh, don't worry. I'll tell you about how much pussy I got.
Oh, God, no.
Jesus Mm-mm. Christ. So meanwhile, the photographer and the handlers are like fluffing the train of her dress and posing them. And the photographer instructs him to put his hand around her waist. And he goes, her petite waist, okay?
Oh, boy.
He is salivating over this woman.
I know.
Like, dude.
I'm worried for her. I'm scared for her.
Yeah, I see already that this is going to be what the mother predicted, that the guy's going to fall in love with her and her not so much.
Maybe.
So that's what I think is going to happen.
Maybe. And guess what? We don't know because we're not getting spoiled.
We're not getting spoiled. Nope. So when we saw him in the first couple of episodes, cheesing out, you know, the big old smile with booties in his face, you know, trying to convince us he was a player.
Motorboating the stripper's
exactly.
butt cheeks.
But in my thought, I wrote, you know, this guy, maybe he was pulling in six and sevens, but this wife is a 10. So he's not ready. Mm-hmm. He is not ready for all of that. So
you
that's why he's going to be
pulling
secure.
In six and sevens?
I mean, it depends.
He's pretty,
for
pretty
him to,
goddamn hot, dude.
He is hot, but here's the thing. Like, an 8 or a 9 is not going to put up with his nonsense. They're going to be like, too hot for you.
There's a caveat to this. If she's 22 years old, she will.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Do anything, really. If I look like this when I was in my 20s, I would be dating. Well, I would date the same guys. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The same losers. Because they were hot.
Yeah. Yep.
We're just losers. Anyways,
I would be cozy enough to Steven and his whole family.
Aww.
Because his one brother, Suit, who I call, is very good looking.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah. Those kids, if they were to procreate, would be really cute.
I don't know about D&D. Jury's out.
Oh, well, okay. Whatever. Okay, so then back to Katina. We get Katina telling producers that she kept meeting men that weren't serious about commitment, just wanted to date multiple women, hence her husband. But she says, this feels right. This feels good. And I'm just like, oh, I can't wait for this
oh,
to fall apart.
Oh, boy.
She feels blessed and wants to start a family and start a new chapter and be on this journey where they're both on the same things. They both want the same things. And he says... Mm-hmm. This feels good. He's comfortable. She's comfortable. He's horny. No, wait, he didn't say that, but basically that's what he meant. So then he's like, her lips are so soft, juicy. I feel like loyalty behind them.
Okay.
Feels them. And a giant boner on his part, he feels.
Yeah.
Clearly.
He is all boned up.
He's all boned up. So we
all see... As I said in the last episode, he is totally the kind of guy who tried to suck his own dick in high school.
Probably.
Was it him I said it about?
I think so, yeah. So the cool thing about it is that even though we're seeing them pose for pictures, we do get to see, like, the final product of the pictures, and they look gorgeous. It's
gorgeous.
Really, they complement each other really well in the looks department. But the more he speaks, like, I know that he's good-looking. Like, I could see that. I have eyes.
Yeah.
But the more he speaks, the more unattractive I find him. Because it's like
I agree.
Fake cockiness. Because I feel like he's putting it on for the cameras.
Again, this is the kind of guy who can get a 21 or 22-year-old.
He's
with,
like,
his charms.
Being... I guess that was like his little Isaac coming out, you know, like this fake confidence.
Yep.
He's his own hype man. That's what he is.
Yes, he is.
And he's in that mindset. It's like, dude, relax. You got the girl. Relax.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he tells producers, please let me know if we're kissing too much. That he told her, like, let me know if we're kissing too much. And she said, no, your lips are soft. And he's all giddy. He's like, oh my gosh, she likes me. I'm just like, oh. And then he says he feels like a new man and that all his sins have been forgiven. So then I'm like, okay.
Oh. He is wanting her to absolve him of something. That's not going to work, dude.
I was like, Apollonia. You have to, like,
absolve yourself of that and then go into a relationship.
I was like, Apollonia, did you just take a dip in Lake Minnetonka to purify yourself? Like, what are you talking about? How have your sins been forgiven? And that is a Purple Rain reference.
I got it. I got that one.
But he's ready, he tells us, and dedicated to this marriage.
Yep.
So later on, we see them slow dancing, and Katina says she was dreading this part of the ceremony because everyone is staring at them. But our boy assures her not to worry, that they will be staring for a while. So get used to it.
Wow.
Okay. Exactly. And Katina tells producers she's feeling mushy and gushy and lovey-dovey like you see in the movies. She says she feels the structure of his body because she kind of like snuggled up against him and it's nice. So he won't let her down in that department and he's feeling her up the whole time. So she can tell he's a kind soul with a boner, basically.
This kind soul is humping my leg.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus Christ. And so at the reception, everyone starts clinking their glasses so that they kiss. And they've been kissing the whole time. So it's like, why are we really
this? Yeah.
We don't need to do this. So anyway, they talk about having kids. And Olajuwon wants kids in 3 years because he wants to travel the world. And Katina is pleasantly surprised because that's her similar timeline. So they're on the same page. So, of course, he wants to know if she can cook. And she says she can cook, but nothing crazy. So, basically, she can boil water. And he's fine with that as long as her fine ass is in the kitchen. He's fine with it. He doesn't say that, but that's insinuated.
It's gross. It's gross.
And then he tells producers, we're going to have to learn how to cook because that's the only way we can survive.
Why don't we learn together? That's fine.
He could have said it that way, but the way he said it really turned me off because the way that I got it was like, no, we need to learn how to cook as in she needs to learn how to cook.
You're 100% right.
And I could see that ending very badly because if he's going to try to position her into, well, we'll get to that. So later in the evening, Katina is getting grilled by the groomsmen and, you know, Olajuwon's brother's asking if she's a club kid. And she says, no, she's 30. She did that in her 20s. She's over it. She does like to go to the pool, hang out, go to cookouts, but her clubbing days are over. So she has a 9-to-5 job. She's a retirement counselor for the state. And apparently Olajuwon also is a state employee, as am I. So, which in the state of New York does not pay very much. I don't know about Massachusetts, but just putting that out there.
But isn't it you can retire after 30 years or something?
It depends on what your field is because I'm in higher education. That doesn't really work for me.
Oh, okay. I can't do that. Because here in Pennsylvania, it's like if you work in the civil service kind of area, it's like 30 and done or something like that.
God.
Which, you know, if you start a career at 30 years old, you're done by 60. Or 25 years old, you're done by 50.
Well, I've been at this 55. Job like 13 years. So can I just leave now? So she then asked the boys if there are any bad quirks that she needs to be patient with. And his friend, I think it's Jeff, he says he rubs his temples kind of like, oh, Lord. Like he's going to prepare her for the apocalypse.
Yes.
And then he kind of glances at the camera. Did you catch that? He was kind of like, it's kind of like, oh boy, where do I start?
I love when they break the fourth wall in any way.
Yes. He did like the gym to the camera, like, So his friend says, you may have to explain something to him once or twice or three times before he understands it. You know, before he can give you a real answer because, you know, he goes into the situations, like, if you go into a situation saying, like, this is how things are going to be, he's going to be, like, protective of himself, so.
No, it's called defensive. It's called defensive.
Yeah. So be patient. That's going to be huge because it takes a lot of talking to him because he's a toddler for him
to comprehend. It takes a lot of patience for the audience to listen to him.
Yeah, so another great quality you want in a spouse. He's a toddler. He's going to have a meltdown if things don't go his way, basically. So she's a good sport, tells cameras, oh, vice versa. I need to be patient too, babe. You got to be patient for me. And then his brother, the one that was my favorite last week, says, He's going to challenge you, but you need to push him to get the best out of him. Translation, Olajuwon is a spoiled man baby who is not used to hearing no. So when he does, he's going to throw a tantrum. Good luck.
Good luck. Have fun. Yep.
Then his brother says, he's the type of guy who will try to mold you to be the type of woman he wants. I was like, nope. What?
Nope.
In the words of Carrie Bradshaw in the Sex and the City reboot, and just like that, back the truck up. What is happening?
That was a pretty great scene, I have to admit.
That was a pretty great scene.
When Charlotte is revealing that she still blows Harry.
You still
blow Harry? Miranda's just birthday? Like, you still blow, is he dying?
His birthday.
Not and did you see that schlong
that bounced off? Okay, we're talking about it just like that, the Sex and the City reboot. Did you see Harry schlong?
I saw it. I saw the other one as well. Lot
the other one was real. Harry's was prosthetic.
Yes, a lot of schlong.
Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah. Very interesting. Anyways.
There's not many good things to talk about in that reboot, guys, so give us this.
Give us this. Penis. Thank you. So then we see Mr. I Need a Stepford Wife, which is Olajuwon, with Katina's mom. And she can't pronounce his name. And I was like, look, I couldn't pronounce it either. I had to spell it out phonetically to get it. Mm-hmm. But in my defense, English is not my first language. And mm-hmm. in my brain, everything just automatically goes to Spanish. So when I first read it, I thought, Olasha? Olasha? Mm-hmm. ¿Qué clase nombre Olasha? I was like, what is... I don't get it. But Katina's mom is like, who came up with that? And it was a little shady the way she said it.
Who came up with that? Like, who named
who made
you? Were you born in Babyland General Hospital as a Cabbage Patch Kid and somebody just gave you this
just
name?
Gave
where
to
come
name.
From?
But, mm-hmm. you know, to be fair, and I'm going to say this about my Dominican people, Dominicans have weird-ass made-up names, too. Because a lot of times the parents just combine names together or they name you after John F. Kennedy Boulevard Rodriguez. Like, their people actually named this.
Okay.
So
right.
No shade to that. So anyway, he tells his mother-in-law that his mother came up with it and she's an Irish lady, but his father is Nigerian. So I guess it's a mix of like Irish and Nigerian names or culture or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then we get the classic. So what are your intentions? And he goes, good intentions. And his main goal is to know her. He has patience and communication, but that he already told her and that he has ADHD. And then the mom is like, are you on meds? And he's like, yeah, I can control it. And then producers gift us with the kind of split screen, like Brady Bunch, yes. Zoom call,
yes.
kind of multiple little screens of him
yep.
rambling while her mother just stares daggers at him. And then
they
he says-
They did that with Lindsay too. Remember when Lindsay was like rattling off just nonsense?
It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
And then he goes, and I think Katrina, she goes, Katina! He's like, I am sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like they needed to add the expect,
wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah.
Yeah. And then his mom is like, that is my biggest pet peeve, calling her daughter the wrong name. So great job.
I bet. Yes.
So we get some top-notch editing from the producers, cutting between Katina and her girls and Isaac on the low, because let's face it, he's Isaac mm-hmm. on the low. We see mm-hmm. him like lift his shirt and like give her a lap dance at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to his boys about the wedding night, Katina wants to make him wait a month because that's her vagina. So she calls a shot. Yes, girl, you do that. And we cut to the grooms, and he's boasting about being ready to tie her up and spin her up and down and whatever she wants.
I'm
he's
shocked he'll even make it out of the reception without trying to fuck her. I mean,
exactly.
It's bad.
So one of Katina's friends says his goal will probably be to please you. So she envisions him just putting his face in it. And the ladies all cackle. And I'm just like, oh, Lord. You do realize you're on camera. And then the friend realized that she was on camera. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. And she adjusts her wig. It was yeah. beautiful. It was yeah. one of those moments that I'm just like, mwah, reality
Once
TV.
Once again, I find myself saying, we can see you.
We can see you. Yes,
we
and we hear you. And this
yep.
is recorded. Yeah.
Yep.
So one of Katina's friends says, so cut this part out, 35.22, because I'm repeating myself.
Okay.
Cut to the wedding night. They arrive at the hotel, and we see them sipping champagne. They do the little, you know, cross-arm thing, really cutesy, their roses, blah, blah, blah. Katina has no expectations. She's confident, she's hot, she doesn't need to expect anything. And Olajuwon wants to fuck her in his stained underwear because Did you see those
stains? I saw the stained underwear. It is blowing up all over social media.
Why would
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it... Unless... Okay, here's the only acceptable reason you should have stained underwear on national television on your wedding night. He's getting undressed and oops, he spills his wine right there.
Yeah.
On his boxer.
Then and change then it's like, them.
Oh shit, I have to get into bed with this. That's the only acceptable reason. There's no other.
When you are dressed formally like that, always wear dark underwear. Black underwears would have been beautiful. Perfect.
Yep. Or maybe he was saving a child from a burning building.
Maybe. Or maybe he shit his pants when he saw her because she's so beautiful.
Maybe it's an actual like burn through the material from him humping her leg all night.
Maybe he grabbed her face and put it by his crotch and that's
and
her
it's
makeup.
Her lipstick.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. 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 Yes.
We don't know.
Maybe he stopped at a strip club on the way home.
And was motorboating and got...
I'll be right back. Let me run in here. I forgot my keys. Runs in quick motorboat on the way.
It could be a lot of things. We don't know.
We don't know.
This is where we leave our couple. We don't know what's going to happen in the wedding night. Will they bang? Will they not bang?
And they got into like a swanky Uber to get back to the hotel.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Okay. All right. So now we're with Lindsay, Jodie Foster, and Mock the Shock.
Oh, those accents. Lord help me.
So we don't have a ton of them, so they'll be quick. So we're at their reception, and the guests are clinking their glasses, and Jodie Foster tells the camera, "I feel great. I never met a stranger I didn't like, and this is no exception." Lindsay and Mark talk about how they are really focused on, they focus on personalities rather than looks. And Mark tells her she has layers and he's a good judge of character. And I could tell there's a lot there. God forgive me, I said it last time. I like Mark. Why do I like him? Like, there's nothing, he's a good human.
Because if anything, he comes off endearing because he cares for his mother. He lost his dad. We know his tragic backstory. And so far, she's the only one that seems a little off.
Yes, yes. So Lindsay's like, I've been hurt and I've put a lot of effort in and didn't have it back in return. And I mean, I've been hurt. You saw me in The Accused. You saw me on that pinball machine.
Swipe pen.
Like, it was bad. Then she says she's ride or die. And then, oh my God, this is great. In a confessional, Mark tells the camera, she's a lot. I'm excited to see how she is when she's when the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Like, what is she sundowning? What is happening here? What?
Is this the second reference to, like, the sun or, like...
Is it, like, Westworld, which I make this reference all the time, like, she's going to wind down and they'll put her in storage and then they'll wind her back up when daylight comes? What happens?
She's the opposite of like a vampire and she's only active at daylight.
And Mark, don't you know anything about Woohoo Girls? It gets worse at night.
Oh, it gets
worse. It's going to get worse. She'll burn out. If she's like me in my Woohoo Girl days, she'll burn out at like midnight.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get better. It'll get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we see Mark meeting with Beau Bridges and Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. And Beau Bridges is saying, Lindsay can be a lot. Like, if your own dad is saying this.
Yeah.
He's like, she's a lot. And they just keep repeating it. Like, it's a lot. She's a lot.
You're going to regret this.
Then Beau Bridges realizes he's on camera. And he's like, but she's super sweet. Like, she has a heart of gold. Like, I better say something good here. Oh, and Kip, her brother from Napoleon Dynamite, chimes in and says, you don't want her for an enemy. Like, oh my God, who says this to somebody? Guys, the families and friends did people real dirty this episode. It's Jesus awful. Christ.
It's like, yeah, maybe
they shouldn't open the bar at the reception until like an hour before they're ready to leave. Because people were real loose with their information. So now we see Mark saying, I'm really happy to have a family because I don't really have one. And he's upset that he didn't get the permission from Beau Bridges beforehand to marry Jodie Foster.
He's very traditional. Sweet.
And Beau Bridges is like, dude, you have my permission. And Kip is like, and you have a family. And they hug. It's so sweet.
It was sweet.
Okay. So now we see Lindsay talking with Mark's friends, and she tells them, they're not having sex. We're not having sex. Like, I'm gonna be passed out by, like, 11 o'clock. It's not happening. So she's saying, where does he get the nickname Mark from Shark? He better not act like a shark in bed. I don't like guppy lips. Oh, God. And then she's doing this whole thing, like, how is foreplay with him? Dun-dun, dun-dun. And she's doing the shark, the Jaws fin on your head, which you used to do in the pool when you were, like, 7 years old.
Yeah.
She's doing that and, like, pretending he's under the blanket. What is happening here? All right. So now Lindsay and Mark head home, and they get into a limo. Mm-hmm. And she's lying on his lap in the limo, and she's like, I want to be a cat when I die. Oh, no, wait. That was last episode. So they're settling in, and there's all these, like, rose petals all over their bed, and Lindsay's like, let's throw them. And we throw them, you know, whatever. And then we get my favorite prison footage, which is the prison cam in the bedroom. And it looks like Mark is literally devouring her like a shark, eating a little fish. And that's where we leave them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now on to better and bigger and better things, Jasmina and Michael. Jasmina, what happened with them?
Michael. So it's the wedding reception. And again, the family and friends clink glasses, forcing the newly met, newlyweds, to kiss. Remember, they just met. Yes. If I get married again, I will have a strict rule against this. Like, I'm not a PDA person, so do not try to make me do the clicking.
See, I could do that. I could make out in public. I'm comfortable with it.
I was raised Catholic. I was a good girl.
Uh-huh.
That was sinful. You don't do that. Uh-huh. Christ is watching.
Get ready for a shot. When Timmy and I were dating, and we would be out in bars, you know, ripping it up. We're in our mid-20s. We would just be making out right in the bar. Just on the bar, next to the people, whatever. One time we were out in the parking lot on the hood of somebody else's car, making out. I'm okay with it. Oh, wow. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I'm all right with it.
Well, now I'm jealous.
It's okay.
Damn. I'm too uptight for that.
I have a little bit of Blanche Devereaux in me. Little bit.
Oh my God, I'm gorgeous.
A little bit. My beauty has always been my curse.
Okay. So, Jasmina and Michael are good sports about it. And they comply. They kiss. But Michael pumps the brake because he has gum in his mouth. So he needs to remove it. And Jasmina is like, you got gum in your mouth? Michael says, I'm trying to get ready. So they do get to kiss.
Good.
And Michael tells producers, due to experiencing so much loss in his family, he's finally ready to find love and a companion. And he knew he had to take a big leap in order to have that come to fruition. So
I feel like, what's your just hot take on him? I feel like he's a good dude. Do you agree?
He seems like he's a nice dude. And he's really, the way I'm reading him, opposed to Olajuwon, is that he's kind of quieter and taking it all in. Like, he's watching her every move. He's watching how she interacts with his family, how she behaves with her friends. He's really observing her.
He's an observer. Yes.
He's an observer. And she's having fun. And I think that he's liking that, that she's just being herself. Because he says that he does have, like, a goofy side. So he likes that in her. So.
Yes.
So he did say that she's into things that he's not necessarily into, but he's still excited about it because it would lead him into her world and learning more about her. So I thought that was a good, you know, answer, because sometimes you'd be like, oh, we don't have much in common, so I don't know how that's going to work. Whereas he's like, I'm willing to learn. This could be fun.
Yep.
So they start talking about pets, and Michael admittedly loves dogs, but doesn't have time to care for one. So he is up at 4 a.m. Monday through Friday.
This was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sent you a picture of Jasmina's face. She makes, like, the perfect face, like, huh?
She's like, huh?
And remember, this is someone who admittedly goes to bed and stays up until, like, 2 a.m. and then is up at 6 because she's watching TV all night. How is that going to work?
Yeah, I feel like we have a whole generation of people on this show who just are not sleeping well. They're not getting their necessary eight.
No one's sleeping well.
Nope.
He says that on, you know, that this is only Monday through Fridays, but that his weekend schedule, it's all over the place. So we don't know what that looks like. And Jasmina tells producers that in the past, she's had bad experiences with being with men that didn't put her first, I guess. They were emotionally unavailable. So she wants someone.
Because he gets up at 4, he gets up at 4 a.m. and then he gets home at like 7. Is that 7:30
p.m., he said. Okay. So she wanted someone who's kind of there for her, and it seems like he physically won't be there because he's working.
Yeah. So. What does he do, Leslie? I forget.
I don't remember. I have no idea.
I want to say it's something with the gym, but I mean, we saw so many people in gym, I don't know what's real and what isn't.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I was like, what does he do that he wakes up so freaking early and that his weekends are compromised as well?
When you're telling us, I'm going to try to look it up real quick.
Yeah, so then Jasmina then gets a chance to talk to Michael's sisters at the wedding, and this was a touching moment. His sisters just tell her to embrace him, be patient, that he will need some extra love, especially on July 17th, because that's the day his mom died of cancer. So they present her with a breast cancer awareness pink ribbon as a welcome to the family, and Jasmina is touched and says, "You're going to make me cry." And one of the sisters says, just as she was watching over him today, she will be watching over you. And it was really sweet. I was really like, oh my God.
I just looked it up. Mm-hmm. He's a personal trainer.
So he's at the gym. Mm-hmm. The gym rat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So in that moment with the sisters, I was like, oh, I really hope this works out. Because it seemed like so sweet that they're welcoming her to the family.
I agree.
And she seems like a good person. And like, she likes to have fun. And she has her own life. You know. So then Michael goes to speak to Jasmina's parents, and again we get the what are your intentions question. So he says he's ready to be vulnerable in order to make this work, and Jasmina's mom says, but not too vulnerable, right? And then turns to her husband and Jasmina's stepfather and says they don't want a weak man in the family.
I
was like,
give me something to throw at a wall.
But at the same time, he can't bully her because then he has to answer to the stepfather.
It's just sometimes we are so hung up on misogyny and what we do to women in this country that sometimes you get a little glimpse of that toxic masculinity that we put on our boys and our men. And it's like, like poor Michael to hear that. Like, fuck you people.
But her mother assures Michael that she likes communication, and that would be the building block of their foundation. So basically, just communicate with her. She's a reasonable person.
Yeah. But not too much, because you can't let her think that you're soft.
Yeah.
Don't be soft, you pussy. Stop talking.
Yeah, be a man. Don't be a pussy. Which Betty White famously said that pussies are strong, so you shouldn't, you know. Demean someone and call them a pussy, because they could really take a beating.
Yes, they can. Over and over.
So they leave, and there's like these sparklers as they're leaving, because like everybody's like holding, like, that's really cute, you know, and they're like walking underneath it. And I forgot what kind of car they get in, because I'm not a car person, so I was just like, well, whatever, they get in a car.
It was cute, but I felt like it was also a fire hazard, and I was a little nervous.
Yeah, it's a little nervous. I think that I would do bubbles.
Yes.
Because they're, like, environmentally safe. You get the non-toxic ones because if pets are there and stuff, so.
I would do the sparklers, but, like, don't put them near me. Just hold them on the sideline.
I feel like with all the dresses and all the hair products going on, it's an explosion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do
If
that.
Anyone is an 80s bitch and has some Aquanet, it's going up.
Yep. So at the honeymoon suite, Jasmina tells cameras she hasn't woken up next to someone in a long time and hopes he's a cuddler because she's one. Mm-hmm. Now, in one of the maths groups, I saw a nasty comment about Jasmina going to bed in a bonnet, and the person called it a hat and asked, why would she go to wear a hat to bed, especially on her honeymoon?
So once again, before you launch into this, once again, keep your mouth shut about Black people's hair or anyone else's hair.
Exactly.
Just keep your mouth shut about it. Go so on, Leslie. Like, give us the lesson.
Listen, I wrap my hair before bed and I sleep in a silk scarf or a bonnet, and it's to help keep my hair intact. In Black culture and in Hispanic cultures, you wrap your hair to go to bed because we have textured hair. A lot of it is curly, some is frizzy, some is what people call quote-unquote nappy. It's just textured. It's really coiled.
Yes.
And we don't have the luxury of people with finer hair to wash our hair every single day and just blow dry it and be done with it. So usually we set our hair, we do it once a week, and you wrap it up so, you know, preserve it and keep it nice for the whole week or whatever. So whoever you are, if you're listening, her wearing a bonnet to bed is not an insult to their honeymoon. It's to keep her hair nice and pressed, because society has ruled that textured hair, particularly Black hair, is unattractive if it's not straight. So that is why she's wearing a bonnet.
And also, this is very common. If you have anybody of color in your life, you would know this is a very common
practice. I've podcast with my hair wrapped. You've seen me.
Yep.
And I'm like, I didn't do my hair.
It's hot, guys. It looks hot.
I mean, it's perfectly fine. So they go to bed and they're cuddling and it's really sweet. And of course, there were rose petals before they got into the bed because it's in the room. And at one point, I remember there's like a rose in a vase by Michael's side table. And he takes it out and gives it to her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, aw. And then she finds hers, the one on her side, and she takes it out, gives it to him. And I was like, this is cute. Like, I love them together.
I like them too.
So, yeah, so that's them. So, hopefully, I don't know, I don't need them to, like, bang or anything. I just hope that they get along.
I do, too. I really like them. I really think he is very sweet. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I can't remember if we have any previews of him screaming at her.
I think that there's only one preview of him kind of just saying, like, don't do that or something. He's not yelling at her. Yeah.
He's not a confrontational person.
It's almost like she's saying that I don't like that. I think something like that. It didn't seem huge. It seems like Olajuwon and Katina are going to be the big explosive couple.
Right. Okay. So now we move on to... Now, I know. I have my work cut out for me this season. Now we have Chris and Alyssa. Okay. Guys, if you don't know who April Ludgate is, just look it up. I mean, she's a doppelganger. It's crazy. So it's Alyssa's wedding day and her friends wake her up by jumping on the bed.
Love it.
Chris and his bros are discussing his nerves in the most matter-of-fact way I've ever seen. Are you nervous? Yes, I think I am nervous. I think I'm experiencing feelings of nervousness. I think what you need to do is blah, blah. Like, it's so weird. It's so weird. So Alyssa tells the camera that she expected that by 30 years old, she would be engaged at least. But she dated a bunch of guys. I'm sorry, a bunch of guys. And literally no one had any qualities that she wanted. Why are you dating them then? They have to have at least one quality that you want, like looks. Okay. Chris tells us he's like a duck on water. His feet are going crazy underneath, but he needs to appear calm for her. You know how I feel about a cheesy metaphor. Not good. Chris sends Alyssa a note and she's reading it and she can't read it without crying. So her bridesmaids read it. It's very sweet. It's basically like, we got this. Everything we've done in our lives has led to this. Follow your inner compass. All right. So I don't know if you noticed this, but throughout the entirety of her scenes, she talks about looks a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like little comments here and there, but it's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And I think someone was saying on one of the maths group, like, this is going to be our Mirla of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. If she makes it that far, and I'll get to that.
I don't think so.
So mom and dad show up. They're very sweet. They don't look like Beau Bridges or Jodie Foster. Alyssa's walking herself down the aisle, she tells us, because her dad has had a lot of back surgeries and cannot do it. I have a question about this. First of all, I know people with back surgeries. My mother-in-law had a very extensive back surgery. She was, you know, in a physical rehab for a very long time,
yeah,
getting that straightened out. She can walk a short distance.
Yeah.
Okay. Not everybody's the same. Maybe this man cannot do that, but he can stand. We saw him standing unaided. He looked okay. Why can't he just use like a cane or a little thing to help get down the aisle?
You know, I think that part of it is that she was probably thinking like, you don't got to do this. Not a big deal. Because I think if she really wanted it, he would have done it.
I feel like this came from her and not him. Yeah. Like, I guess I felt like she framed it like it was coming out of a place of concern, and I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
Okay.
I feel like if it really meant something to her, he would have done it for her. Yeah, she probably just said, don't do it. You've had back surgery. You're fine.
Yeah, it was weird. So Alyssa, she's preparing to walk down the aisle, tells the camera, best case scenario. He's tall, he's tan, maybe a scruffy little beard, etc. Nope. Right? Mm. I mean, he's not short, but he's not Steven.
No.
You know.
And he did have, like, facial hair.
A little bit.
And then they do him dirty by an undershot of his teeth.
Real bad, man. She thinks attraction needs to be there from the beginning, and she's like, teeth are huge. If I turn the corner and he has snaggle teeth, I would have to say, it was fun while it lasted. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they're showing his teeth, which I was talking to Mary Payne about this on Hey Bunky yesterday. His teeth are not great.
But they're not bad.
They don't look rotten.
They look fine.
Look, I call them like 70s and 80s movie star teeth.
They're like smoker's teeth.
In the 70s and 80s, before braces were widely available, you just had to have like nice natural teeth. You know what I mean? But they looked natural. Like you see them today against movie stars and it's jarring.
But it is jarring because they whiten them so much. That's why.
So his teeth are like, they're fine. Whatever. He has pointy incisors, but hey, sometimes people do. As she prepares to come down the aisle, the music gets real ominous. Like, dun, dun, dun. It's like, what is this?
Frankentee.
She comes down. He's all smiles. And I have a note here, like, the general consensus is that she's a bitch and he's a sweetheart and doesn't deserve it. I don't know where I land on this yet, but one thing I have to say is he's just weird and I can't put my finger on what it is about him.
Yeah.
He's weird and I don't know what it is. I don't know. He could be perfectly nice. So they introduce themselves. It's fine. Alyssa's friends and family want you to know you're incredibly lucky. She's a straight shooter, and she'll let you know what's on her mind. She's honest and forthright, sometimes too much, and her face will say it all, and she loves dogs, especially Penelope, and has a huge heart. Chris's friends and family want you to know he's driven, he sets up goals, he won't stop, he could be a little bit of a workaholic, and he has been searching for a woman he could grow with. Okay, now for the vows. Chris pulls out a legit, like, notebook. And even his vows are boring. Like, you're marrying a stranger and your vows are boring. I don't even have them written down here. I just say blah, blah, blah. Alyssa, she says, thank you for signing up for this crazy adventure. I love animals more than people. Says it right off the bat. I will always be honest and direct and treat you with kindness and respect. And then we see the star of the week, Pastor Steve Martin, standing behind them. Who, as we know now, has dragged her on Twitter.
Yeah.
They kiss. It's over. Chris tells the camera she is gorgeous. He is thrilled. So then they do some small talk. They, like, go off to the side. They're doing some small talk. What's your last name? Blah, blah, blah. Alyssa does social media and marketing. He asks her about the boots and if she has a horse. And he tells her, you know, My sister has a horse in Florida. Like, I think it's really cool. I don't think I've ever been on one, but I'm open to it. Like, he seems fine.
He's trying to connect with her.
Yes. And then he tells her about disc golf. And I'm like, dude, do not lead with this. It's weird. So he tells her, like, oh, I'm the president of, I don't know, NAFTA or whatever the organization
is. I love to fuck. He and sounds like just, Andy from The Office.
She's just kind of like, he does kind of have an Andy vibe yeah. to him. Mm-hmm. So Alyssa tells the camera, I mean, I guess I'll let him teach me to play, but I don't think I'll be disc golfing on my weekends. You know, like, mm. So then they're getting their pictures done, and he starts talking about his real estate business. And it's funny because Alyssa tells the camera, he looks like a real estate agent.
Yeah.
So Alyssa won't touch him in the pictures, and the photographer's like, can you put your head on his shoulder? And she's like, I would not do that. Nope, I would not do that. Chris, he's telling the camera, like, they're cutting back and forth, and he's telling the camera, no red flags at this point. Okay.
The fact that she's repulsed by you is not a red flag. Okay.
They arrive at the reception, and Chris tells the camera he feels really good about this. He likes her a lot. Then they're, like, still small talking. Everything still seems okay at this point. No one has said anything bizarre. The guests start clinking their glasses. She's like, nope, I don't succumb to peer pressure. Okay. Then we can see, like, her confessional is, like, just going down in slow motion. Because now we see same background. She's in the same confessional. And she's telling the camera now she's kind of unsure about this.
Yeah.
All right. So
I wanted to get your take on it because I'm like, what happened? Because I was watching it and I'm like, I don't get where the disconnect happened because it all happened kind of fast.
I think I know what happened.
Okay.
I think I know what happened. So later, Chris sits down with Alyssa's mom and he's asking her, does she like me? Does she like me? And mom's like, I guess. Like, she didn't really say anything, but we were dancing. And then, all right. And then the best part is he says, what do I do when she's had a bad day? And the mom goes, leave her alone. Just yeah. leave her the fuck alone. All right, here's where the disconnect happened, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think she's already kind of like, not my type, not my vibe. Okay? Then she meets up with the groomsmen, and they're like, listen, Chris is a natural teacher, but he might come off as condescending. Mm-hmm. He kind of talks down to people. But he's just trying to get you to learn. And I think that just immediately was like, it would be like if I was in this situation and somebody was like, I'm going to tell you the truth. This guy's a bro. Like, he's going to be out humping everything at a club. I'd be like,
Yeah, I'd be like, no.
Like, so I think, you know, she probably doesn't have a lot of confidence around her intelligence and is immediately threatened by this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'm not saying she's dumb. I'm just saying she probably doesn't have confidence around her intelligence. So she might hear this and be like, oh God, like this is going to be.
Like he's going to talk down to me the whole time.
I think it was just the tipping point.
Mm-hmm. I think that she did not like him from the start, from when she saw him.
Nope.
And then she clung to this, like, oh, there's a reason. So I'm not just shallow. He's also, you know, a dick.
I think that she thinks he's too nerdy for her. I think based on her fetishization of cowboys and cowboy culture, she probably wants like Rip from Yellowstone. Like yeah. she wants somebody with a little edge to them. And she saw a real estate agent standing at the end of that yeah. aisle and was like, eh, okay. And you know, Leslie, you and I can speak to this. Like it's only after you've been fucking burned by those kind of guys that you appreciate the real estate agent standing at the end
totally,
of the aisle.
Totally, the total nerds.
Yep.
They're the best.
Yep, we want you. Okay, so, all right. Her friends are telling Chris, like, she likes assholes. That's what her friends say to him.
Yeah.
So this, you know, this just proves my point further. Like, he's too sweet for her.
Yeah.
So then, He's very sweet, and he, in a weird shift, decides, I'm going to tell everybody I'm an asshole, too. And he's like, I'm an asshole, too. I could be a masshole. Okay, dude, calm down. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
go take asshole lessons from Olajuwon.
Okay. Like, exactly.
Or Isaac.
Isaac.
So her friends say she will probably want to take things slow and sleep alone. Don't take it personally.
Okay. Yeah.
Chris and Alyssa head home, and I want to say they're in like a 1950s Ford or Chevy pickup truck. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, they were like in a truck. Yeah, I saw that.
But it's got like the flare side wheels and stuff. And Alyssa's off somewhere having a meltdown now. Okay, so they get to the hotel, presumably, where they're going to stay. She won't even go up to the room. She is off in some weird area with producers. He is out in a lobby. I don't even know if they made it from the wedding to the hotel. They are just in some kind of hotel setting.
And he the whole time, they're cutting back and forth, and he's just grinning like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yep. She's still mic'd, so we can hear what she's saying. And she's telling production she hates condescending people. It's such a turnoff. And the producer's like, did you see this happen tonight? And she's like, no, but his friends told me. His friends told me he's condescending. Then she tells them when she was in the elevator with him, he said, I'm just Alyssa's side piece. And ugh, I hate that. It makes me sick. Okay. He's just not her type. He's just not. She starts to cry and says she doesn't want this on camera. And then she tells production she does not see one characteristic of what she asked for. And physically, it's just not there, and she does not feel comfortable sleeping in the same room as him. And she asks production, like, what do I do? Do I tell him this? And the producer's like, yeah, dude, he has no clue what's happening. Because we see him outside, and he's literally saying, like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Okay. Now she goes out, and she sits down by him, and she apologizes to him for making him wait. And she tells him there are some things that have been said that don't sit right with her. And he's like, well, what are they? Like, I had a good day today. I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. Did I offend you? You know, what's going on? What do you want to do? And she's like, I just want to get some sleep. And she literally gets up and just leaves.
It was crazy.
And that's it. I don't know.
I was like, Amy needs to explain this to me because what just happened?
I just feel like this happens occasionally where somebody's just like, gut instinct is, I don't like this person.
Mm-hmm.
But you stick it out. Like, we had this with, what was his name? Luke and Kate. I want to say New Orleans. Like, Luke just didn't like her. But usually when the guy doesn't like the girl, he's still banging her. Because he was still banging her.
Of course.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, that's the whole point of the experiment. You just try. And you see if attraction grows.
Yeah.
It's weird. Jamie Lee Otis didn't like her husband when she saw him. And then, you know, grew to like him. Can't believe I'm using her as an example. But anyway, so that's them. So I did not write what happens next time on because it's just a very long preview.
It's a long preview of what the whole season encompasses. Yes. And we do see, I guess if they do end up going to the honeymoon, or at least your girl goes because she's in a bikini in a beach.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. So I really scrubbed this promo. There is zero footage of them from anywhere past the honeymoon. I don't think they make it.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they go past the honeymoon. I really don't. There's no footage of them.
Interesting.
At all. Yeah. So I might be down to two couples.
Yeah. And it's funny because we see like Katina and Olajuwon like, someone, I guess, is DMing her or texting her. He's like, yes. Who is he? You're married. And it's like this whole thing. And she's just kind of like, calm down.
Then we see a fake fight between Steven and Noi, where Steven's saying, and then to ghost me for 24 hours is just not cool. But I don't think he's talking to her.
No, I think it's probably an experience he had.
Yes, I think he's telling her a story. Do not come for them, producers. I'm telling you right now. All right. So at the end of the episode, Leslie, we give our winners, our best man or maid of honor, and then our loser, like who's going home with the DJ and puking out the window of the limo. So my winner this episode is 100% Steven. He has married into gold. Not only is Noi a precious, precious treasure, but he's got Sriracha now. Yeah. And D&D and Sriracha are going to become best friends. I just know it. I know it's going to happen. So he's my winner. Who's your winner?
My winner this week would definitely be... I can't believe I'm saying this. Mock the Shock. Because he's still, like, putting up with her nonsense. Like, she's all over the place. And he's just, like, rolling with the punches. And he wanted to ask permission to the family. And
he's
I was like,
sweetheart.
That's endearing.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, who is going home with the DJ puking out the limo window? I have Chris. Do we agree on this?
Who's Chris?
Chris and Alyssa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Who's Chris?
Who's Chris? He's so not memorable.
Okay, now wait. Yes. I was just going to say, that proves every point we've made.
He's not memorable.
We don't even know his name, and we covered the show.
I had Alyssa just because I feel like she was going to bail and she would hook up with whichever guy told her she was hot that day.
Yeah.
Like, hey, hot girl.
She would go home with Olajuwon.
Totally. She'd go home with anyone.
I have to tell you, somebody was saying that, I forget who they were talking about, but they were like, I'm getting Zach season 13 vibes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I could not remember who Zach was? I had to go back and look, like, at pictures. That's and I was crazy. Like, oh, Zach and Michaela. What am I doing? How could I not remember that? Goldfish brain. Like, it just literally, you're out of my line
That's
of sight.
That's why I love this show. Because with 90 Day, as much as I love 90 Day, love, hate watching it, a lot of these people, you see them for far too long. They're horrible human beings off camera.
Yeah.
But with these guys, you get one season of them, then they're gone. I mean,
they're
I haven't seen any of the spinoff things. I know that there's like web shows and all that. I don't watch that stuff.
I'm not watching that shit. Yeah. They're gone forever. 100%.
Yeah, they're dead to me until you tell me otherwise.
Oh, Leslie, I have an important announcement to make for you.
Yay.
We got an email.
We got an email?
Guys, I'm super excited about getting an email. Please send us more. I was really happy to get this email from Sarah. Sarah writes, love your pod. Amy, I enjoyed hearing you fill in with Mary Payne, but I also love you and Leslie together. You guys make me chuckle, which is fine when I'm in my car and less fine when I'm listening with my AirPods in bed and wake up my husband.
Aww.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for
Thank
listening.
Thank you. Guys, send us your comments. info@6degreesofrealityTV. We'll read them on the air if we like them. Again, if you're going to call us idiots or tell us to fuck off, we're not reading that on the air.
We're
There's
not reading it on the air. I mean, I will read it and burn
no,
a candle.
Won't. No, you won't.
Make
no,
a whole
won't.
Ritual out of it and do some brujeria on you. But other than that, it's fine.
You won't kidding. Read it because we talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to screen it.
Yeah, we're
And throw it away.
It.
Yes. If somebody
Write it,
comes
regret
for
it.
Leslie, somebody comes for Leslie, I'm just throwing it away.
Don't
right
bring
in the
it
trash.
Away.
Come for me all you want.
You.
Okay. All right. So real quick, let's wrap up. Leslie, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters and all that at Sinister Girls. Remember, it's a Z in girls, not an S. So we replaced the S and put a Z in it because we're punk rock, created
and
in 2002.
How often do those episodes drop?
Weekly. Actually, our episode for this week is a day late, and I am so sorry. I had technical difficulties of last night, and I couldn't upload it, but it's uploading tonight. So when this episode drops, the new episode of Sinister Girls will be available as well.
Awesome. Okay, and I'm at Gen X This Is Why, which is my podcast I have with my sister, where we talk about Little House on the Prairie, Golden Girls, different movies. We just did Night of the Comet. I had never seen it.
Seen that.
It's a cult classic. It's really crazy. It's kind of interesting. And my Instagram is Amy Watches TV. And don't forget that I have an E on the end of my name. A-M-Y-E. Amy Watches TV. All right, guys. So thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram. The best way you can help us, absolute best way, is to share the pod with someone you know watches the show or to leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen.
Apple Podcasts.
Thank you. Oh
yeah.
My God. I thought there was an I in there. Also, Spotify now has reviews. So leave us one there. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.